Friends in Christ,
grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. And there is much reason to rejoice and to be at peace as we read in the gospel reading this morning from Luke chapter 7. Again, these words. Soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. And as he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all. And they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. There was an old preacher who told a story about his days fresh out of the seminary, and this goes back a long time, 150 years or so, back to the time of the founding of this congregation. He told the story of the first graveside service that he conducted, fresh out of the seminary. And as he tells the story, he says he stepped backwards and he lost his balance, and he fell right onto the casket. In those days, the casket was held over the grave with boards, and the force of his weight falling into the casket caused one of the boards to crack, and down went the casket and the pastor into the grave. Must have been a horrifying experience, the kind of thing that he said he could laugh about only decades later. And as the old pastor would say, there is no graceful recovery from that, unless, of course, I could have brought the deceased back up with me. Well, Luke tells a story of a funeral where something very unexpected happened, but it wasn't at all horrifying. As this funeral procession is making its way out of the city gates of Nain, another entourage of people are coming in the other direction, heading into town, led by Jesus of Nazareth. And it's the meeting of these two processions and the unexpected skirmish between the power of death on the one hand and the Lord of life on the other hand that instills so much hope in our hearts, so much joy for us in the face of our trials. And it's all captured in Jesus' words to that poor widow: "Do not weep." So what does the story teach us? Well, for one, it shows us how God comes through in a moment of great human distress and suffering. The story is so wonderful because it reveals the heart of God, his compassion, his love, and that he cares about our situations. Listen, he cares about the situations of even ordinary people. Now, the widows in first century Judea were women who were on the margins of society. Without any kind of a social security system in place, widows had to rely on their families for their support, and especially their sons. So to lose both your husband and your only son was a calamity of the worst kind for a woman in those days. With no menfolk in her life, she will struggle for the rest of her life just to find food to eat. She grieves not only over her son who has died, but she grieves over what is to become of her on a very sad and difficult journey that lies ahead of her. And what's really so exciting about this passage is that Jesus cares about all of that. And his heart is so beautifully revealed here. He is gripped with compassion, the text says. A compassion that prompts him spontaneously to intervene. And the first intervention is that of compassionate words for this lady. "Do not weep," he says. That's all, just that. "Do not weep." But please do not confuse those words with similar sounding words that you might hear at a funeral home when a grieving wife is told by a well-intentioned friend, "Don't cry." We can say that all we want. We can wish she wouldn't cry, but we can't do anything about it. But when Jesus says, "Do not weep," he knows there really is no reason to weep anymore. He already sees the culmination of God's salvation when, as Revelation 21 describes it, he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Because at that time, not only will he have taken away the pain in our hearts, but he will have also fixed the cause of that pain. And we will never be hurt again. Never. Jesus' words to this widow also remind me of a question that he asked of Mary Magdalene after he had risen from the dead, and she did not yet recognize him. And he asked her, "Why do you weep?" And once again, the point of the question is not merely to express some kind of a wish that she not cry anymore, but he's not able to do anything about it. The point of his question is to say to Mary, there really is no reason to weep anymore. It's like a girl who's dropped her cell phone into a pool. And she brings it in to her parents, and her parents can't tell which is wetter, the phone for having been dropped into the pool, or her for having dived in after it, or her eyes because of all the crying she's doing. And Dad says to her, "Honey, don't worry about it. Don't cry." And she's, through her tears, says, "How can I not cry? I'm so sorry. I ruined this phone, and I'm not going to be able to speak to my friends anymore." And again, Dad says, "Don't cry." Because you see, Dad knows something that the girl doesn't. The cell phone contract was already up, and they had already planned to upgrade her to a better phone anyway. You see, that's what Jesus means when he says, "Do not weep." When he says that, "Do not weep," what he's really saying to you is, yes, yes, it hurts now, but this is only momentary, and I know how it's going to turn out for you. And I am telling you, there is no reason to weep anymore. But then comes the bigger surprise, when compassionate words become the compassionate gift of life and of salvation. And he touches the funeral bier of that young man, that probably like a cot that they were carrying him on. And he says to him, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And doesn't it lend credibility to the story, as Luke tells it, that when that young man sat up, that the mourners were gripped with fear? I mean, imagine you had witnessed something like this at a funeral you attended. The deceased suddenly opens his eyes and sits up in the casket. Wouldn't you respond with fear? And that's the stuff that horror flicks are made out of. That's the stuff they depict in haunted houses just to try to scare you. But fear soon gave way to joy as it dawned on them that they had been visited by God. And there's something I want you to notice in the reaction of these mourners. The text says that the people of this village glorified God, saying, "God has looked favorably," or "God has visited his people." Notice they did not say, "God has looked favorably upon his daughter, this poor widow." They did not say, "God has visited this young man." They said, "God has visited his people, all of us, the whole nation of God's people." They somehow instinctively knew that the compassion of Jesus Christ, his love and his mercy and his favor, extended to them too. They instinctively know that this love they have just witnessed is more than any man's love. This love is divine. This is of God. And they know that had they been in a similar circumstance, Jesus would have helped them too. And of course, they are exactly right about that. But Jesus would help them in ways that they could not even understand at that time. They didn't understand that, in fact, all of us are in the predicament of that young man laying on his funeral bier. As Paul said in Ephesians, we were dead in our sins. That young man lying on the funeral bier, his lifeless clay, all wrapped up in linens, being carried to the grave, that's me. That's you. Dead in our sins. And these people did not understand how the compassion of this Galilean preacher would one day raise them from the death of their sins to a new life with God. They didn't understand all of the details, but this they seemed to know, that in Christ God had visited his people to wipe away our tears, to bring life to our death, to bring joy to our grieving, to turn our mourning into dancing, as we said in the psalm, and to bring hope to our hopelessness. So this morning, and every time we gather here in God's house, we join those people of Nain to praise God, who has visited us in the person of his Son, for his favor, for his compassion that is extended even to us in ways far greater than what we read in this gospel lesson. The good news is that to Jesus, all of us and any of us are the objects of his love. He deeply cares about us. He deeply cares about our circumstances so much that he cannot bear to see you bearing your own sufferings and your own sorrows. He cannot bear to leave you hopeless and weeping in your processionals to the cemetery or in any other trial of your life. So he bore our sufferings and our sorrows and our death to the cross, taking away our sins and every last vestige of sin until every symptom of sin, including death itself, is gone and conquered. So when he says, "Do not weep," it is because he knows that the prize for all who believe in him is a life forever free from every last vestige of sin, where there really will be no more funerals, no more cemeteries, no more widows or widowers, no more dying, no more crying. Are you sad or suffering this morning? Are you grieving or sorrowing? Tired of weeping and crying? Don't give up. You have come to the right place this morning. Because here at the gates of Zion, we meet up with the Lord of life. And your deliverance may not come as quickly as it came for that widow at Nain, but it will come just as surely as the open tomb follows the bloody cross. And knowing that makes all the difference. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you raised the widow's son and wiped away the tears from her eyes. Remind us, as often as we need to be reminded, that in you there really is no reason to weep, for you have defeated sin and its every symptom, even death itself, and have given us hope and joy and life in its place. Strengthen us in our faith throughout all our trials to remain strong in hope and joy until at last you wipe away every tear from our eyes. We pray these things, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. And amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.